And if you have your Bible with you this morning, I'd encourage you to open up your Bible. I hope that you have your Bible. And if you don't, I hope someone next to you has it or you have a digital version. I will be reading from the English Standard Version today. We find ourselves in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. And while we are turning there, we find ourselves here in our second week of our parables series. And this series will take us through the start of the school year. And last week we spoke about, let's see if we remember, what did we speak about last week? The lost coin, the lost sheep. And the point of that was to what? To find the lost. To seek, to search diligently for the lost. And really we walked away knowing how we all have a part in searching for the lost. And so this week on our roadmap to heaven is what I'm calling it right now because I don't have another name for where we're going. But it takes us through the progression and we arrive at the end of the great banquet, the wedding festival, heaven. And so we looked this week at the persistent widow, and I have titled my sermon today, Like the Widow. Do you know that we should all be like the widow? Right? So I have a story that I want to share with you, and first I want to ask, who's ever heard the adage, the squeaky wheel gets the grease? Can everybody hear a squeaky wheel right now just screeching in your ear? There's a car that drives by our house. It's an old, it's an old SUV, and he's got something stuck in one of his brakes or something. It sounds terrible when you're outside. He needs some grease on that wheel. But as many of you know, I wanted to be a DNR officer. I wanted to be a wildlife conservationist when I was a kid and, well, teenager, I guess, and going on to college. And so what I did is I wanted to work for the Keokuk County Conservation Board. And through that, it required trying to get a position, okay? So small county, not a huge park, they only need limited help. It took me 2 years of unannounced stops and just saying, hey, do you have a job? I want to work for you. Hey, do you have a job? I want to work for you. Unannounced, I would just randomly go in. And I, looking back on it now, like there was a time that I was dating a girl at a time who... Boys, don't do this. You don't dye your hair with your girlfriend. Okay? Everybody knows at school the next day. Don't do that. I put stripes in my hair thinking it was dumbest thing ever. I shaved that as fast as I could. But I can tell you, I showed up out to the conservation board to the office with long hair, highlights in my hair, asking for a job. Okay? I imagine what he thought when he saw me. Okay? Long story short, I ended up with the job. So I asked enough times, they had a position open, and I was able to accept a job as a summer ranger, summer maintenance. Now, that means I did a lot of mowing. I've mowed more yards than I care to count, and weed eat, and you know that parks have lots of trees, and lots of trees require lots of weed eating. And but none of that mattered because my end goal, keep in mind what my end goal was, it was to be a DNR officer, it was to become wildlife conservation. And so if I could get my foot in the door, all of a sudden, what happens? I start to meet people. I'm able to network. I'm able to start meeting other DNR officers, other even county sheriff. Quickly found myself riding on Friday nights and Saturday nights when, as a teenager, you're supposed to be running around getting in trouble or whatever you're not supposed to be doing would be the better way to say that. Staying up until 2 a.m. riding with the local conservation officer and responding to calls with the sheriff deputies if it was a call close enough to the park. And so I was very much getting ingrained in that. And I ended up working for the conservation board for the last 2 years of high school. No, I'm sorry, my last year of high school and then my first 2 years in college. And then everything changed. Most of you know that I had to drop out from Iowa State and the Lord had a different plan and I've been a new Sharon ever since. So that's like the easiest summary to put together. But the point of this is what we should all understand. If I hadn't been persistent, if I hadn't have stopped regularly, randomly, asking for work, they may not have picked me to be the one to be hired, right? They could have actually opened up hiring and accepting applications, and they could have hired somebody between my first stop and last stop based off of how much time had passed. And so I was persistent. I kept going in through all the weird haircuts that I had, and eventually he said, hey, I've got a job for you. And so for me, I'm thinking, this is huge. This is a huge win, and it's a huge opportunity. And at that point in time, it cemented that adage into my brain, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. I say it regularly. People hear me say it. It cements the truth of it. And while most people would give up, they would go to another job or they would try to find something else, I didn't want to let go of it. I wanted my foot in the door. And sometimes that means you put your foot in the door while they're trying to shut it. Right? Keep the door open. And so this is where we find ourselves today. Although we shouldn't focus so much on the squeaky wheel gets the grease part, because to me that kind of has a negative, like, annoyance to it, right? Because we all heard the squeaky wheel when I said, y'all hear that right now, right? It just, you hear it. But what we should focus on of the adage and of the story is about being persistent, right? Being persistent and focus less on the annoyance of the squeaky wheel. So let's get to our scripture this morning. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. And he told them, who told them? Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they, what? Ought always to pray and not lose heart. The story goes, he said, verse 2, he said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because, verse 5, yet because this widow keeps what? Bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not, what? Beat me down by her continual coming. That to me says the squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? And the Lord said, this is Jesus, and the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him when? Day and night. Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So first and foremost, let's talk about what a parable is. This is going to, I should have shared this last week. This applies to last week and the weeks going forward. And quite frankly, this goes for any time you read a parable in the Bible, okay? A parable is meant to teach or express a concept with descriptive words so the hearer, the person hearing, can learn a specific lesson or point. Now, what you need to know is not every element of a parable represents or relates directly to something else, okay? So, for example, in this parable here, the unjust judge is obviously not referring to God the Father. Can we all agree on that? As if we have to beg God for justice. We don't. So when we look at the parable, we have a judge that couldn't be influenced by who? It says, excuse me. Got to find it here on my screen now, I'm sorry. Yes, though I, in verse 4, though I neither fear God nor respect man. So when he's talking, the judge couldn't be influenced by God. Now this is in the wisdom of God and the fear of God, okay? Or man. He couldn't be persuaded by man. But through sheer persistence did he do the just and right thing. It wasn't because men persuaded him. It wasn't because God told him to or, you know, put situations in place to make it. It was through the persistence of the widow that she got her justice. And it wasn't because of his ability to show compassion, but purely by the widow's audacity of persistence. Jesus used this parable to encourage God's people to do, to learn to be consistent and diligent in prayer. And the same parable today teaches us about persistence and diligence in prayer. The widow couldn't bring about her own relief from her adversary, right? If you're facing a trial right now, can you bring about your own result? Maybe. Maybe my truck's dirty, it needs wash, I take it to the car wash and wash it, right? Or I wait for a rain. But think about the harder things, okay? Think about life challenges, loss, pain, sickness. Can you bring about your own result? 90% of the time the answer is no, right? So we don't know her situation. We don't know exactly what was happening. We don't know who her adversary was. We don't know what justice she needed. We know that the widow was wronged. We know that there was something taking place that she couldn't fix. It could be that she didn't have money to actually take it to court. It could be that if she took it to the courts, it would take too long, and then justice would be meager at that point. Or perhaps the court wouldn't have even taken her case. They may have viewed it as not important. We don't know. Bible doesn't know. That's all speculation. We know that we have a widow that needed justice, right? She knew that the judge could do it for her. The judge could bring her justice. So she continually petitioned the judge until she got her justice. Matthew Henry suggests, when you read from him and other scholars, it's actually suggested that she was on the judge's doorstep of his private home. She wasn't necessarily going to work, which I'm sure she was going to work to petition him, but she was outside his door. So imagine with me, you get ready for work, you've had your time, you've gotten ready to walk out into the world, you open your door, and here's this lady that keeps asking for you to do something for her. Becomes a lot to face every morning, doesn't it? Here's our sticky statement for today. We show how much we trust God through our persistent prayer. Let that sink in for a minute. Let me repeat it. We show how much we trust God through our persistent prayer. So what does this parable teach us about persistent prayer? Well, it teaches us a couple of things. First is we must be persistent in our prayers. So through prayer, we show God that we trust on Him and that we rely on Him, right? God wants us to bring all things to Him. There is no situation that you have, there is nothing that you face, there's no trial, conflict, or anything in your life that God does not want you to bring to Him. There's no challenge, there's no addiction, there's no sin that He doesn't want you to bring to Him so He can release, restore, renew, comfort, and give you peace. You understand that this morning? God wants us to bring all things to Him. But He also wants us to pray for His will, for His plan, and His purposes to be carried out here on earth. And when we get into the habit of taking all things to God, so no matter what the situation is, if we get in the habit of taking all things to God, eventually we get into the habit of regular prayer, right? Our mindset changes. I used to be like this terribly bad. I would pray and I would just say, Lord, I need this, I need this, I need this, and I need this, and I need this, and if You could help me out, that would be really super awesome, right? It's a very inward, selfish, me type of a prayer, right? And as we develop a habit of persistent prayer, it turns more outward, and it's, Lord, Your will be done. Whatever it is, Lord, Your will be done, and I trust You, and I want to be a part of this with You. So it goes from an inward to outward as we develop into our persistent prayer. And it should be noted, and I said this a couple weeks ago, it should be noted that God is not unwilling to answer our prayers. Sometimes he wants us to learn and trust him more. He wants us to depend on him more. He wants us to depend on him more than our troubles, our trials, our tribulations, our situations, and our needs weigh on us. The amount that they weigh on us, he wants us to trust him more. It should, excuse me, if someone like the unjust judge, right, we can assume that he wasn't godly because he wasn't persuaded by God or by man, right? If someone like the unjust judge, and the very fact that they call him the unjust judge, what do you think those rulings were like? Who was buying him? Who was? But it says he wasn't persuaded by man. So maybe he had his own agenda. I don't know. But the Bible calls him the unjust judge. So him who isn't godly, if he will respond to someone like the persistent widow, how much more will God respond to his devoted followers who continually pray for God's purposes and will to be carried out through their life? When we trust and we rely on God, when we rely on him for all things, we persistently pray. Do you know what that does? There's a radical shift that happens in your relationship with God when you start to rely more and more and more on him. We show how much we trust God through our persistent prayer. Here's the second thing that this parable teaches us, and it does for us, frankly. It builds a deeper relationship with God. Now, I've said so many times, if you've been here for a minute, you know this. I always talk about relationship with spouse, right? If you never talk to your spouse, how good is that relationship? Crickets. Y'all need marriage counseling. Let's meet tomorrow night, 5 o'clock. If you don't talk to your spouse, how good is that relationship? It's not. If you have friends and you don't talk to them for a year, yes, maybe that friendship is still strong, but if you've not talked to them for a year, how good is it? What about family? Does everyone have family in here? It's a rhetorical question, right? Everybody has family in here. If you have family and you don't talk to them, or you're on different wavelengths, how good is that relationship? Does that relationship suffer when you're on different wavelengths? Go back to the friendship point of view. If you don't talk to a friend but 3 times a year, right? So we're allowing for a little bit of conversation. You may still be friends, but do things start to change? Do things start to take place? They change. There's differences that arrive. We develop new attributes. Our opinions start to vary, right? Based off of where you live, even that impacts your opinions on things sometimes. Life happens. Who knows that life happens, right? And in some cases, you end up on very different wavelengths, and all of a sudden that relationship is estranged. It's completely different than what you thought it was. So look, prayer is our means of communicating with God. Okay? Prayer is how we grow closer to God. Here's a little warning for you. You ready? If you ask Jesus into your life yesterday, 50, 100 years ago, and you don't regularly pray, you cannot assume that relationship is a good, solid relationship. That's a very one-sided, selfish, Lord, I'll talk to you when I need something from you type of relationship. Now, twist that. Think about a friendship. If you had a friend who used you in that manner, how long is that friend sticking around? I'll tell you a story. I had a friend in high school. Him and his dad weren't very well off. We became very, very good friends. We both started hanging out with a couple of girls that were also friends, so we became friends. And to try to help, we went to a movie one night, and I had to pay for him and his date's movie, which at the time I was like, you know what, that's just being kind, being Would you believe that after a couple of months and doing that just randomly, I got a phone call one night from him saying, hey, I want to take so-and-so out. Will you give me 20 bucks to do it? Now, we were included, right? And I was like, the audacity. What are you doing? And so things become very clear at that point, because why was I there, right? So he could take his date out and he could get credit for it. And it's just not how you use people. You understand that? You talk to people, you spend time with them. So if we have that same approach with God, how can we expect that relationship to be good? Now, God's never going to turn his back. He's just waiting for you, and he's going to come running and meet you. But if I just always put him on the back burner and say, I'll come to you when I need something, when I'm good and ready, I'll talk to you, how good can that relationship really be? Relationships don't exist without communication. Period. So the way you pursued a friendship, does anyone have a friend in here? Rhetorical question, everybody has a friend, right? I hope. The way you pursued your spouse, or the way they pursued you, maybe. The way you pursued a job, you guys understand what I'm talking about? That persistence, you went after it with everything. It should be the same vigorous persistence that you seek God with. So, think about when you were young and dating and how much that person meant to you and every thought was consumed. That's how you pursue God. When there's a promotion on the line at work, we're getting ready to, we've got our hat, our name in the hat. We hope that we're picked. We're doing everything we can to make the bosses like us. We're bringing special treats into the clipboard holders so they'll think of us next for the promotion, right? When we think about any situation where we wanted something and we pursued it, right? If I was to hang a $100 bill from the ceiling on a fishing line and it was at 7.5 feet, how many of you would try to jump and grab that $100 bill, right? Norm wouldn't jump. He would just reach up and grab it and walk away. But the point is, let's say it's $1,000, right? Okay, maybe $100 is nothing to you. What if it's $10 million? How hard are you going after it? Pretty soon everybody in here is enemies, right? We're not friends anymore. I'm not your pastor anymore. I want that $10 million, right? And I say that kind of jokingly, but you're going to pursue it. You're going to go after it with everything you have. Why would we treat God any different? Why would we treat our relationship with God any different than going after him with everything that we have? That same vigorous persistence. We have to seek God. We show how much we trust through our persistent prayer. So the question we have to answer today is, how do we develop a persistent prayer life? For me, and I kind of said this at the beginning, the word persistent almost has a negative connotation to it. I view persistent as, now keep in mind, and maybe everyone else has a different story, but in my mind, through my experiences, the word persistent, I was from a young age, I was taught to quit asking the same thing. Quit asking, nonstop asking, stop. We were called pest. We were called bothersome. We were called annoying. Anything that can get the point across of we're being annoying, we were called. This isn't the case here. This isn't what Scripture is teaching us. No matter how much you pray, did you know that God wants to hear from you more? You can't outpray the amount that God wants to hear from you. Now, that should just blow everybody's mind in here, okay? Now, that's not to say that he won't tell you to be quiet and listen like he did Peter, but he still wants to hear from you more, okay? in all seriousness, you cannot be persistent enough. You think you've pushed it? He wants you to push it more. Developing a persistent prayer life. It starts first by being intentional, right? So set a time when you're reading. And by the way, we're doing a five-day Bible reading plan. They're back there on that table back there. You can join. It breaks down to the day and the week and the month, and you'll know exactly where we're at. And you can pick it up and join us right now and get through the rest of the Bible with us. But you can set a time that when you're reading this five-day Bible reading plan, you can set time apart to start praying, right? If you're not already doing that. We can start to pray. And it can start by, first off, we give God our concerns, right? Who's got a heavy heart? Did you know the Lord wants to hear about your heavy heart? He wants to take that from you. He wants you to share your heart, your needs, and ask Him for opportunities to use. So when we start developing that persistent prayer life, it's just as simple as Lord, I don't really know what to say, but I know I need you. Did you know that that's enough? Because He already knows everything on your heart and your mind and it going on in your soul. So is it really about the words, or is it about committing myself to communicating with Him? So we have to start somewhere and start small. Now, a little side note here. You're not talking to yourself. So for me, prayer was a very weird thing at first because I just feel like I'm talking to myself. But in reality, you're talking to God of all heaven, all creation, right? You're speaking to the Lord. He hears you. So as you start to be intentional through your five-day Bible reading plan and adding prayer to that, as you start to be intentional, as that starts to get comfortable, you start to share more. Add a little bit more to your prayer. Maybe it's just sit silently in His presence and just allow Him to speak to you. You know the Lord wants to speak to you, right? If we come without an agenda and we place ourselves at His feet and worship and just, Lord, I need You, and sit silent, I can guarantee you the Lord will show up every single time. It's been true in every situation in my life. Then we can start adding prayers throughout the day. This is the next step to get to persistent prayer, right? Because persistent means with what? Without ceasing. Does a squeaky wheel ever stop squeaking until it gets the grease? Generally not. Eventually it gets really hot and it wears down and something breaks if we don't grease it, right? It happens with the county lawnmowers. If you don't properly grease it, you will break something because those mowers are run 24/7. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. So then you can start adding prayers throughout the day. While you're working, did you know you can pray while you work? Did you know that? Anybody? Did you know that? We can all pray while we work, right? While we're driving, does anyone just sit and ponder life while they're driving? Great time to pray, right? What about showering? I'm guilty for shower prayers. Mowing the yard, sitting down in your morning and drinking your coffee, great time to have a conversation with God. Anytime, essentially, we want to get it to the point that anytime that we think about the situation, the concern, the trial, the hurt, the pain, whatever it is, anytime that we think about it, we train our brain to say, Lord, I reconfirm this to You. I've already given this to You. I'm trusting You for this. I know that You're going to work in this, and it's Yours. So we get in the habit of reconfirming it and trusting in Him to provide your need. And eventually, as you continue to build that up, it gets to a point where it's like talking to a spouse. It's talking to a family member or a friend, but so much more. So much better. Next thing you know, you'll be walking around at work, doing your job, driving down the road, mowing, and just praying and talking to God like He's right next to you. Like He's just a good old friend that's always with you. We show how much we trust God through our persistent prayer. Now, the big question, why? why should we develop a persistent prayer life? Frankly, it's for when the big things come. When the big moments of life come. If we don't start to train ourselves up to learn how to pray, to talk to God, how to communicate, when the big things come, how will you know how to pray and talk to God if you've never taken the time to learn to pray, to speak to Him, or to hear from Him? If we aren't used to taking things to God, and if we don't have that relationship established, how confidently or how trustworthy are we to approach Him in prayer when it comes to the big things? It turns more into, I think of it like in football, a Hail Mary. This is our last and final hope. I'm going to take this to God and just see if it sticks. Right? Hail Mary. It's our final option before everything comes tumbling around us. As Christians, so if you identify with Christ, if you are a follower of Jesus, and what's proven evident in this parable today, it is undoubtedly the case that you will face hardship in your relationship with Jesus, in your life. You will face hardship and adversity. You will experience pain. You will experience hurt. You will experience sickness. You will experience dot, da, dot, da, dot, da, dot, da, dot. All of it's going to happen. But do I trust God more? Do I put my trust in God and give it to Him in prayer? Did you know that Satan is our foremost adversary? What is his job? His job is to pull people away from Jesus, right? Prayer protects us from Satan. Did you hear me this morning? Be prepared to trust God in all things and be in persistent prayer. And through that, it says, God will give us justice speedily. Doesn't say after 5 years, it says speedily. He will give you justice, protection, peace, comfort, guidance, etc., etc., etc. But what's our responsibility? We have to be the ones to work to develop it. He's not going to make us learn how to pray. He desires us to. He's not going to make us. We show how much we trust God through our persistent prayer. So, simple answer is be in persistent prayer, right? Be the squeaky wheel that gets the grease. Put your trust in God and always develop that relationship that you can rely on, especially for when the big things come. If you pray about all the little things and the big thing comes, is the big thing a big thing? Not really, right? It's no big deal. I'll give it to God and God will take care of it. We have to work on always developing that relationship. Listen, we must be a people of persistent prayer if we intend to carry out the vision of our church. Persistent prayer goes before engaging our community for Jesus. If you would you bow your heads, close your eyes this morning? I want to give everybody the opportunity in here to respond to the message, to respond to Jesus, to respond to God, to have a relationship. You have to know the person. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, if you've never accepted the work of the cross for your sins, today's the day to do that, whether it's in a new way or in a fresh way. Meaning, maybe I've asked God into my, or Jesus into my heart years ago, but the last couple of weeks have been really challenging, and I really need a fresh commitment to Him. Today's the day to do that. In fact, Romans 10:9, it tells us, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. It doesn't say you might be saved. It says you will be saved. So if you're here this morning and you'd like to step into that relationship with Jesus, if you'd like to acknowledge the work of the cross, the forgiveness of your sins, would you just raise your hand up? Let me see it. Anybody else? Nobody's looking at you. Church, let's pray this morning. Pray with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for the work of the cross. I accept the forgiveness of my sins, the debt that you paid in lieu of my sin. I believe in you. I commit my life to you. From this day forward, use me. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, we had two individuals raise their hands this morning. Thank you. And for those that raised your hands, there's so much grace that you can't even fathom. And you start to, even as a believer for myself for just a few years compared to some of you, but think about the grace that God has poured out upon your life. I don't know that we ever get satisfied with it, or we actually ever come to a point of realizing and understanding just how much, because every time I think about it, I get overwhelmed. So, today's your day. Today's your day to start new. Today's your day to start building that relationship with Jesus. Here's how we're going to close today. You hear we have this really pretty music in the background. One of my points was, how do we develop a persistent prayer life, right? The first thing I said was being intentional. So today, here's your first step of developing a persistent prayer life. Start today, right? Let's read some more adages here. There's no time like the present, right? Don't put off for tomorrow what can be done when? Today. If not today, then when? So here's the challenge today. As we have this instrumental worship music, today's the day. Now is the time to dig in, to start talking to God. I'm going to invite to the altar here in a minute. But perhaps it's just as simple as saying this, coming to the altar and saying, God, I need you. And then just sitting and waiting in expectation for Him to show up. Don't miss this opportunity. If you will commit today to developing a strong, persistent prayer life, I would invite you to approach the altar